Now that I have a a legit microphone and a microphone stand that's connected to the table, I feel like a radio moderator right now.
A little more legitimate.
Yeah, really
A radio
legitimately. Oh
moderator.
God.
Okay.
They don't call
Oh.
them DJs over there, I
Welcome
guess.
to Good Morning with Fleeks.
Hey,
Fleeks
Flix,
Morning.
just wait until you take your microphone and travel to the U.S. and they think it's some kind of either bomb or sexual device and force you to go in the back room like me and get 20,000 questions over this phallic-shaped object until they take it up and go, oh, it's a microphone. Just that'll
Well,
happen one day.
with my 100% with my 100% steel microphone stand, I could theoretically, yeah, it's so heavy, I could kill people with it if I wanted, but I don't want to,
You could
so I
whack
don't
babies
do
with it, basically.
I think normally I talk like that, but at the moment, because my microphone seduces me to do so, I'm talking like this. But normally I talk like that, I think.
Well, talk like
Oh.
normal and then adjust
Yeah.
your settings accordingly.
Yeah, think like, imagine we're all a bunch of friends sitting around a bar table shooting the shit and talk at that tone of
I'm
voice.
just trying to be as loud as an American.
I would resent
I
that, but I am a very loud American.
Yeah, really, if we have a group of American in one of our German pubs, especially in Regensburg, because we have a base close by, a military base from the US, and if they come here to our pubs in Regensburg, they are always the loudest table. You can, that's for sure. So you can recognize, oh, it's Americans again. They are
Oh, yeah,
loud.
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're loud
Unabashed.
and they like to spend their money. That's why the bar owners won't kick them out because, man, when the Americans come, oh boy, we're going to make some
But
money tonight.
at the moment, I'm recording from the garden community of a friend from his shack, more or less, where he lives. And I'm in Berlin, by the way.
Ooh.
So. Thanks to Nuveti who gave me a room to podcast. Shout out to Nuveti. Yeah, it's actually his kitchen. I hope there's not too much hall.
So if we hear some background noise, that's okay. They're just making a sandwich. We'll be okay.
Yeah, as soon as I'm at home, this all will sound way better, I hope so, at
It's been
least.
totally established that here on BirdLife, background ambience is a normal thing. Whether it
Yeah.
be from roommates or really loud coffee shops.
Well, yeah.
God, that espresso maker, man.
It went on, we couldn't hear anything. The whole podcast stopped.
I know there came to be a point during that show where I just kept my volume off, and whenever like myself or Juko like had something to say, we would like make a signal towards each other, and I'd flick the volume up before like we could talk.
Well,
Okay.
that's why we're at episode what now, 21? When
21. Our podcast is now old enough to legally drink.
and those mistakes were
It's
made
legal
back
to.
those mistakes were made back when we were teenagers. We're fine.
The brain damage was done.
That's right. That's right. Oh God. Fleeks. I
Okay.
got a question for you. What country did you just come from?
From
Sweden.
Sweden, and good that you talk about it, because last episode I wasn't really able to tell you stuff about Sweden, and I would like to do that. So ask away, or should I just
Good.
start to
Well, before
explain
you
you how
start,
Sweden works?
well, before you do that, I want to tell you something I just read today. And Time Magazine, because I am a news whore, Griffey. And the fascinating thing about
Time
Sweden
Magazine is
is,
fake news. Sorry.
fuck you, Donald Trump. okay. Anyways.
I have someone here, a dear friend to me.
No, he's lying.
Yeah,
What is this with all these audience members? Fleeks keeps bringing all these people into the studio.
Sorry for
crashing the party.
Unauthorized non-bird admittance.
I know.
Sorry for me having friends, okay? Real life friends.
You're missing the memo. Oh.
So, yeah, they are gone again. So, yeah.
Okay. So
now I'm ready again. Now the connection is top notch.
Oh, well, okay, we hope.
I think.
All right, so and anyways, I was reading in Time Magazine, and they had this very interesting tidbit about Sweden. Did you know that Sweden is the only country in the world that currently has legislation pending to mandate that every municipal employee get 60 minutes per day, per shift, to go home and have sex?
What?
I am not making this shit up. It's real.
Is this a proposed bill, or is this something that is enforced?
It is something that's being debated right now, and it's looking like it's going to pass because they're trying to increase their population.
Because of Sweden.
So the government's decided, we'll give you paid time off to go home and bang.
And boff.
Okay. And make chirpy noises.
So
okay, no,
so why don't they just do what the U.S. did, like, pre-World War II, and just, you know, give people money for having kids? Like, that's kind of where, like, all these tax cuts and stuff came from for, you know, parents and things. Like,
Well, I think it's the Swedish mentality. I really do.
Well, they don't have taxes, really, so yeah, I guess.
Actually,
they got very high taxes.
Yeah, socialist, I should say.
Okay, in Germany, you get money for each kid. It's called children money. Did I directly translate Kindergeld? And yeah, you get this. You just get this for, if you have a child, you get assured that you can afford to pay for your kids.
Back.
Yeah, there is Demut again.
Right on cue with the kids. Bang. And I'm back. So, yeah. Ladies and gents, we now know Fleeks has a child. A very grown-up child, but he has a child nonetheless. So he's very experienced matters.
Demut is my daughter.
How much? So the Kinder Cash thing, is that like monthly, what? Like, how does that work?
What? Oh, the Kindergeld is monthly paid. And it depends on if it's your first, your second, your third, your fourth, your so on. The more
your 12th, cheaper by the dozen.
The more you get paid for your child.
Well, I know that even Canada has an incentive program like that, where once you have a kid, the government starts throwing cash at you. But the thing about Sweden is, I wouldn't be surprised if Sweden already has something like that in place. But if they're going to pay me to go home, you know, if I was Swedish, to go home and get it on.
And straight.
I'm pansexual, so I'm equal opportunity. But
yeah,
anyways,
I was going to say, technically, like, you know, it's not limiting it to, oh, well, if you're a government worker and you're gay, like, no, you don't get this. This is because it's for reproduction. No, they're probably just going to still let you go home and, like, you know, have sex.
You can still try to get it on.
We're trying. We've been trying for months. We don't know what you want from us. It just doesn't work that way.
It's Sweden. That's probably equal. They are very Sweden is very fond of equality, and they have a very huge social system, a very great one, I would say. Yeah, it's very liberal. Thank you. And yeah, I think they would probably pay for male sex or girl sex too. You know. Or whatever. So even how do you even prove that you had sex in that hour?
There's no pictures. Way. What is there? Is there gonna be? I'd love to have that fucking job in the government where you sit there. All right, you must submit video evidence that you went home every day.
I'd say it more as like a lunch hour thing. Okay, so you have your 8-hour set work day. So you clock in, you do your thing, you know, your lunch hour or your boff hour comes around, and you clock out for that hour. Now, it's totally loud, you're just not getting paid for it. Make sense?
Okay.
So here's my question. Why does Japan not have any, like, incentives like this going around? Because at the rate, like, the Japanese are going, they're going to be about extinct in 100 years.
They're a very sexually uptight country. They really are. They've got... Japan has some of the most bizarre anime you'll ever see in your life for a reason, because, yeah, you know, they'll go and jerk one off to some hot cartoon girls. But when it comes to actually mating in real life, it's just not really appealing to most of the population.
Well, here's the thing. So I have a friend who, she was stationed over in Japan for a while. And she was able to actually, you know, like, go around and be part of, like, the local culture and stuff like that. So, like, she made friends in Japan. She, you know, would go around and hang out with her friends. And right. She ended up hooking up with one of them, or at least, you know, it took, like, months. Frickin' months, she says, in order to, like, you know, she was interested in him. He was saying he was interested in her, but, like, they didn't do anything for months because he was just so damn shy about it. And then finally, she ended up having to, like, be the one to, like, ball up and be like, hey, so are we gonna, like, you know, bang or what? And, like, apparently he was, like, very, very shy and very reclusive about it. So I'll get a little intimate here, keeping her anonymous, but she was talking about how,
and she lives in her.
That was the audience.
Yeah. So she was talking about how, like, during, he was, like, she described it as he was very efficient and, like very, very attentive to her needs and, like, kind of throwing his own out the window, you know, like, focusing exclusively on her. So she's like, it was nice, but at the same time, like, it's a mutual thing, so it wasn't really all that great. And then afterwards, like, you know, immediately upon finishing up, like, he jumped off of her, ran out, grabbed a towel, and started cleaning her. And apparently this is, like, kind of a normal thing in Japanese society. However, like, later on she was talking to him and, like, trying to say, hey, like, you don't need to be so, like, tense about it, like, loosen up a bit, like, you don't need to, like, worry about cleaning up, like, immediately after sex, like, we can just kind of hang out and it's fine. And
right.
Apparently he took that as, like, some sort of, like switch. Like, there's two modes the Japanese have. It's either you are professional and proper in all things, or you flip that switch and every rule goes out the window, because then the weird stuff started happening. Like, you know, like, straight up he was, like, talking about, oh, can we do, like, bukkake kind of stuff? Oh, can we do, like, this, and this? And, like there is no gray space. Oh, it's either you, boy. Like, straight up, like... like, impossible to, like, not be professional, or there is nothing holding them back at all.
Well, I mean, Japan, they kind of invented the love hotel, so. And you can have, and they've got by-the-minute rates, and that should tell you something.
By-the-minute, okay. Not even, like, by-the-quarter rates, like, you know.
Nope. No, you can go in. There's people, I have friends that told me there are people in Japan, when they do finally want to do it, they can do it on a 30-minute lunch break.
Oh, wow.
And have time to eat lunch within that lunch break.
You know what? I totally actually get that, because the metro system, like, is minute to minute. And if there's a delay on the tracks, the metro system itself will print out, you know, part of the receipt will say, hey, this is why we were late for, like, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Like, so they're not, like, getting faulted by the company they work for.
Yeah. That's an entire beast in itself in terms of Japanese culture.
Since we are now at Japanese, you know that I was at NFC in Sweden. That's a big furry con there, Nordic FuzzCon.
Mm-hmm.
And right. We actually roomed with a random Japanese guy who was really from Japanese. And his comment about Japan was, yeah, I love the food, but I hate Japan. So he talked about that working moral they have, you know, like he taught me. In Japan, you're saying a good man, a good working Japanese, if his bride is laying dying, you know,
uh-huh.
He still goes to work. That's a good Japanese man.
Wow.
And he said, like, fuck this shit. Fuck this shit. No.
No, it's true. Like, your family... the work culture there is just intense. Like, people are straight up hanging themselves at work because they're thinking they're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah, or they're dying from dehydration or not eating enough. They're just falling down dead.
Meanwhile, like, here in America... it's like we don't like if the more we can get away with not doing at work, the better we are. And we have the audacity to be like, oh, they should still pay me more. Like when we're trying to not work so hard.
And what's funny about that is we still are one of the most productive nations on earth with that. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right behind Japan, China and Germany. And Japanese, several others.
Japanese has one of the lowest production rate of stuff. They one of the lowest productivity, but they are still working as double as Americans. So, that's really
what the hell's happening?
I don't know because they're overexhausted. They don't work right because of that. I don't know. They're humans too, you know, and
they only get like one day a week off. It's crazy.
So
yeah, they can't. They just can't.
So, by the way, you know, 20 minutes into this episode here, this is Bird Life, episode 21. I'm Core.
I'm Fleek.
And I'm the greatest bird kitty that ever lived.
Oh, you're Storm. I missed.
Okay, so that doesn't disagree with my statement, Fleeks.
Well, here's the thing. So you're now claiming to be the greatest bird kitty. You're claiming to be the greatest griffin ever. So not only are you ostracizing yourself from normal birds, you're ostracizing yourself from griffins as well with your superiority thing. Tell me how that works. Tell me how other griffins feel about that.
Well, they are blessed to have such a glorious leader among them.
Beep at bird.life. Give us your comments.
Or tweet at us, by all means. It will be very fun to engage you.
Or just post it in the chat.
But all seriousness, and Griffith, we all get along. It's nothing but a love fest.
So, guys, what are you drinking tonight? It's a good time to ask it, you know.
Well, since we've decided to lower our standards on this show, I went ahead and decided to completely throw my sense of taste out the window and try a Pabst Blue Ribbon for the first time.
Okay. Ooh. And your thoughts?
I'm going to go get it right now. It's in the fridge.
Oh, good lord. Okay, so while he's grabbing his drink, Fleeks, what are you drinking?
I just drank Löwenbräu. And then,
you drank a Löwenbräu?
Löwenbräu? No. Löwenbräu. That's like lion brew. And it's from Munich. It's just a standard German beer, I guess. But it's pretty good.
So, decent beer. Löwenbräus are in Germany as like a... Michelob is to America, just a typical kind of beer.
Yeah, it's just a Munich beer that's very old, and yeah, it's nothing super special.
Okay.
You know, that's something we should really talk about for just a moment. How the hell do they come up with names for these beers?
It's in German.
In general. I swear, because, I mean, Corey, you've seen it, and I'm sure, Fleeks, you've seen it, too. You go to, you know, the liquor store, and you look at some of these beer names, and you're like, Ruffle Truffle Dancing Rue.
What?
What the fuck is that? And it's some honey wine thing. It's weird.
Generally, the beers are named after, like, you know, something that describes them. Like, for example, one of my latest beers that I really enjoy is Bell's Fury, and that's by a local brewery here in Utah. But they're really good, and Bell's Fury is a red ale, and they named it Bell's Fury because of the whole red aleness, but also because, like, fuck, who even was the god Bell? I have to look up their, like, little backstory that they have on this, on the cover of the thing, too. But they named it and did the art in the style of, you know, the beer itself, because it's a very, very reddish-colored ale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of the beers I drank are also, the name is very descriptive, like, for example, the Saugatuck Blueberry Maple Stout. That's all you, it comes from Saugatuck, and it's a blueberry maple stout that gives you all the information about the beer. But there are also, like, example, I don't know.
To me, that sounds delicious if it wasn't for a stout. I don't like stouts all that much.
I love stouts. Heavy black dark beers are exactly my thing. And oh my god! Before I start with what I want to say, Cor, what are you drinking?
I've been riding this Kahlua and coffee train for 3 weeks now, and I'm really enjoying it. But I do have a Blue Moon as backup when I finish that, so we're good.
Okay.
What the hell is this shit?
Okay.
Your Pabst Blue Ribbon?
It's like horse piss that they put cold and added a little cinnamon to.
It's weedy water.
Yeah, I think it's a very light. I don't know, very light summer beer.
Wait, you drank this shit?
He drank it last week. He said.
Yeah, I drank it last week.
That's right. You had a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, a very weedy. Okay, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. Can we all agree it's weak piss?
Absolutely.
No, I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
At least Cor and I see eye to eye here.
It's a beer.
I vote to remove Fleeks from this show. I'm beginning to question the German sense of beer taste.
When a German says Pabst Blue Ribbon tastes good, we have a problem.
If I have a very bad hangover and I want just a light beer to tackle it, you know, Blue Ribbon is perfect.
Because did you just say if you have a hangover, you use a beer to tackle your hangover?
On a con? Yeah,
this
on a con.
This is German logic at its finest.
Well, no, that's what you do. Like, I don't say use Pabst Blue Ribbon, but you do drink more alcohol to get rid of the effects of the first alcohol you had.
Yeah.
And you just kind of keep compounding on that until the accumulative, you know, hangover basically kills you.
I find out that Blue Ribbon is a perfect hangover beer, really. I don't... It's not a beer I drink for enjoyment. It's for refreshment or for, you know... If you want something light, you know, if you've, I don't know, I don't hate it. That's what I say. I'm not like, oh, I love Blue Ribbon, because that wouldn't be true. But I say I don't hate it. I just don't hate it.
Just to reiterate,
it's a decent beer.
To reiterate and kind of go in line with what you're saying, people who go to Burning Man drink Pabst Blue Ribbon to not dehydrate.
Yeah, that's exactly, it's revitalizing in some way. It's a good summer beer if it's super hot, it's light, you know? And I think it would be also great to mix it with lemonade, you know? And just have a refreshing beer mix, you know?
You know, I'll have to give that a try, like put a little shot of lemon in it, but I...
There are drinks that are good to mix with lemonade. I'm struggling to see how Pabst Blue Ribbon would be one of them.
You are actively drinking it right now, so I'll take that with a grain of salt.
Now,
how about an orange? Like, would you be able to squeeze an orange into it and make it taste better, Storm?
That might be interesting. Just a little bit. I think it would complement it just a smidge. So yeah, that might work.
Okay.
But this is the third time. It'd
basically be like putting an egg in your top ramen to make it, you know, classier.
Pretty much.
The reason why I drank a Blue Ribbon, anyways, is because it's In Sweden, they have very strange alcohol laws, and that's something. So they can, in supermarkets, are only so-called lätt or lättöl. That's light beer is allowed to sell in the supermarkets. And everything else you have to get from a so-called Systembolaget or Systemet. And that's like
Was that like a liquor store that's run by the government?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so just and like Utah.
There you can get the good stuff. And you know what's pretty good on that. Nobody there buys like the cheap beer, like the normal local beer in the Systemets. They actually really buy a lot of craft beer because of laws it costs as much as the normal beer, you know? And then you of course get the good stuff, you know? Right. And yeah.
It's similar. Also, some states in the U.S. are like that. In Indiana, where I live, it's weird in that the grocery stores like you described, but then we have separate liquor stores where you can buy the good stuff, the hard liquor and the craft beers and whatnot, and you can get some stuff that'll knock you on your ass in one shot. Whereas where Core lives, the government runs everything. So, you know, God bless the Mormons.
Yeah, it's true. So essentially here, we go to the liquor store if we want foolproof alcohol at all. And it's all state-taxed, much heavier than anywhere else. And we can still go to a grocery store to get beers and malts, and that's about it. So we can get, you know, Red's apple ale, and that's about it. And regular beers.
Okay.
And it's capped at 3.2% alcohol by volume.
Because of the laws, also they mostly are drinking the hard stuff, you know, the really high percent stuff, liquors and spirits and stuff. Yeah, because it's just buying beer is too expensive, and if you want to have party, you get with the hard stuff, you know, and long drinks and stuff. And they also have on bars, they have strange laws with if you want to serve alcohol, you also have to serve food at the same time. Or,
Wait, let me pause you there.
Can have this amount of alcohol.
So are you saying if you go to a bar in Sweden and you want to get, you know, a Pabst Blue Ribbon or a cocktail or maybe a margarita, something fancier, you got to get like a bag of chips or some kind of food with it?
No. Every bar has to serve food too. That's the rule. So food, like warm food, not maybe fast food is okay, I think.
And this is still Sweden.
And the irony is that so-called lat beer, yeah, that really soft beer, you can drink it everywhere because it's like a soft drink. It's counted as a soft drink.
That's kind of nice being able to like walk down the street.
Yeah, you can drink it there. But everything else, from county to county, it's different. But in the county where the NFC was, there was a strict... It was forbidden to drink alcohol outside of private rooms.
It sounds very, very similar. Uncomfortably similar to how it is for me. Because I'm trying to escape the whole, you know, Utah culture of alcohol stuff. And it sounds to me like Sweden's very similar in that vein. Because, we have, like, they're moving away from bar systems entirely. Like, people who apply for bar permits anymore, they're doing restaurant liquor licenses. So if you want to open up, like, your own bar or something, you have to apply for one of these restaurant liquor licenses, and you are required to serve food. Even if it's a shitty microwavable hot dog, you have to serve it with food.
Yep. Even here, and what most bars do is they get frozen pizzas.
Pretty much.
Literally. And they sell them for like $9, and here you go. Here's your fucking pizza.
Yeah, microwaved and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed to say they actually taste pretty good after a couple beers.
Well, that's the whole point, why they're $9.
Before the laws were too strict in Sweden, they had a so-called bar bread or something like that. and they just had in the bar, they had one bread, and every time somebody ordered alcohol, they just passed the same bread to that person. And so they had one bread a day, and in the end of the day, it was just thrown away. But
that's
they,
not
they had
okay.
to have it when they ordered. Huh?
That's not okay.
That does yeah, not at all so. Meet food safety regulations anywhere.
Like, I could totally see, like, okay, here's your bread, like, here's your beer, and here's some bread to go with it. If, like, you know, you just want to skirt by that law, you just give them, like, a dinner roll or something. And I could actually dig that. Like, beer goes really well with, like, Hawaiian dinner rolls. Just going to put that out there for the world. Fleeks, what is our topic this week?
Good question. But I wanted...
our topic? It was... Our topic is whatever the hell we want it to be. Our topic
today it's a talk about what the fuck you want.
Okay, this that works.
Free speech today. We're just rolling with what we're coming up, and at the moment we are at Sweden, and maybe Storm, what are you want to talk about?
I guess
what do you?
Just to interrupt really quick with a comment, I guess this is like a Hail Mary to America as our free speech laws slowly go out the window.
we're just talking what we are coming up with today. So well, it's nice to have a free show from time to time, I guess.
So let's talk about our feelings and our emotions.
Oh yeah, I feel very emotional.
Core's not getting out. Core's not getting out of this. He's got to tell us how he knows about the Burning Man.
Right. How do I know about the Burning Man?
Did you ever go?
I've never been to Burning Man myself. I wouldn't mind going and checking it out, but overall, it doesn't sound like an experience that, you know, is really up my alley.
There's a reason every RV rental company in the country bans their RVs from going there.
Especially after the episode with Malcolm in the Middle.
God,
that was such a good episode, too.
Isn't it super expensive to go to Burning Man?
It really is. And so I used to work at a bar, and one of the clients who, I guess, like kind of started their own night at that bar was part of the Burning Man crew. So like they had like the local burn, which is called Element 11 out here in Utah. And they take place, and it takes place out on the salt flats. It's really cool. And I actually would prefer to go to Element 11 over Burning Man. Or, you know, just one of the local chapter kind of things. But they had their parties at our bar every month, so I kind of got to know, like, the local in-crowd really well and kind of got into the Burning Man spirit and, like, you know, all everything where, like, they're in.
Right.
But I don't really like large crowds. I don't like going to places where there's a ton of people packed into, like, you know, an area. Hence why I also don't really want to go to AC, but that's entirely different.
Fair enough. Okay.
Like, if you guys were going to AC, I would make the effort, but I would probably just,
AC?
Like, hang
Antrocon?
Out.
Antrocon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually going to Antrocon next year, 2018, because I'm... Yeah, I will go there. It's already planned. So, and it's pretty sure that I'm going if nothing bad happens.
Great. Well, now I'm required to.
So yeah, now you're
Storm,
required
you too.
Yeah, I guess we're required to do something at AC, and if you go to MFF or something, we could do something there too.
Yeah, and then I already have a room, but so as I would share with you, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I guess that settles it. Bird Life is coming to AC 2018. Oh boy!
We are making a live podcast.
Oh my. God, do you have any idea how many fucking birds go to AC?
Dude, then it's perfect.
A lot. And do you know, the problem at AC is I need a tax number to actually selling stuff at the dealer stand there. And I really have to think about how I can, like, you know, how I can trick the system a bit. Maybe somebody else can help me or something who has a tax number. I don't know.
Here's your first trick of the system is if you make more than $500, then you have to worry about your tax thing. If you don't make more than $500, don't worry about it.
The thing is, AndroCon rules. AndroCon rules.
That
you have to have a text number. Okay. That's a rule.
Well, then you can partner up with someone that's local. Like, if you partnered up with me, then you can run it through my tax ID, and then I handle the paperwork on my end.
And pays for your taxes and your illegal immigration into our country.
Yeah. But we have to talk about that in private before the government puts you in jail because you're planning probably something illegal here.
It's not illegal. It's not illegal, but, you know, it makes things easier because when you're a foreigner, you can get a tax ID, but it's a lot more paperwork for you.
Mm.
So,
I mean, why not, though? Like, why not actually try to break the rules and experience the American prison system? Because in comparison to Germany, I understand it's actually quite luxurious, more like a day spa, really.
Germany's
prisons are ours.
Germany, like, in comparison to ours, or I guess in comparison to Germany's, ours are like day spas.
The German ones are day spas, in comparison to the American.
Yeah, the German ones, they teach you skills. They you know, they got trainers. They're great. American ones, like walking into a Motel 6.
I guess I got it backwards.
I can actually show you a video, TED Talk about an American who was in Germany and a German, you know, in German jails, the inmates. They can use knives. They have knives in the kitchen. They have a kitchen. They have a kitchen where they can make their own food with knives. You know, they have knives. And also, you can learn new jobs there. You can, and you get help. It's not for punishment. It's for re-socializing.
I was actually watching a documentary last night on prisons in Russia. And they were chastising America for how loose our system is and how liberating we are to our prisoners. And yeah, it's like no joke. So they're prisoners. They literally sit in a cell like 23 of 24 hours a day. It's like constant. What is it called? I forget the term. What it's called already? Seclusion.
Sensory deprivation.
No. What's the punishment? The seclusion chamber that we put them into.
Solitary.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, for Russia, it's like their prisoners are constantly in solitary confinement. They do have a roommate, and there's this 50 square foot cell that they share with a roommate, and they're also not allowed to sit on their beds during daytime hours. In their 50 square foot room, they have to be either sitting at the desk chair or pacing around, and there's only one desk chair.
Wow.
And then they put them out in a walking yard for an hour and do room checks every day to make sure there's no contraband.
That sounds like heaven.
It's ridiculous. And these are for, like, you know, what are basically, you know, life sentences here in, like, America. That is their life sentence. They're in there for the rest of their life with, like, little to no hope of appeal.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. And, that's just, I don't know. In the EU, we have, like, human rights and stuff, and we are really trying to...
That makes it look so bad. Oh, God. In the EU, we have human rights, you know.
Well, so technically, American prisoners are stripped of their human rights and then given classification status where, like, they get so much of their rights back depending on their behavior.
Actually, there are even countries that have even better, like, prisons than Germany, and it's more like the Scandinavian countries. And I heard Iceland has, it's like a luxury, they even have internet, I heard. And yeah, had internet, Sweden, at the jail.
Hey, Sweden, Swedish prisons are supposed to be top notch. As long as you're not convicted of like a super heinous, violent, murderous crime, everyone else, you get a prison cell where it's similar to being checked into a library, where you get TV, you play board games, books, training, the whole nine yards. It's great.
And if you get loud, someone shushes you.
Yes, someone searches you.
I think you can re-socialize people if you're taking them away everything. You know, they still have somehow contact to the outside world. They have to be able to make contact to people for so they have a chance after they leave the jail, so they can manage stuff. You know what I mean? Like finding a flat, or I don't know, finding a work after that, making. Getting education in there, you know. A lot of prisoners do not have a good education, but they have the chance to get it at prison then, you know. And even learning a job or, I don't know, everything. So
For me, prison should still be punishment to an extent. So, I mean, I'm all in favor of rehabilitation at the end. So at least, you know, 50-50. In the beginning, you did something wrong, especially if you went and, like, beat up grandma. I'm sorry, but you deserve to get your ass thrown in jail and rot for a while. But after that's done, the latter half of your sentence, okay, you're going to be coming out soon. Let's get you some skills. Let's get you rehabilitated. Let's get you socializing again. Let's try to make you have the necessary things so that way your ass isn't back in here.
Well, I'll be the first to admit our system can be a little unfair sometimes, but they do actually offer programs like that, you know, for prisoners, for, you know, low offenses or I don't remember what the class system is, so I'll just kind of have to use layman terms here. But, you know, like for non-lifers, and they do have programs so that, you know, when you get back out into the world, you can either learn a skill while you're in prison, such as, like, it's a trade skill, like electrician or, you know, plumbing, stuff like that. So you get to learn those skills, and they do offer, like, education levels up to the high school education level. They even have graduation ceremonies, too, in prison for, you know, the parents to come in and celebrate your prisoner child's graduation.
Oh, cool.
That's not a bad way of doing it. I know some prisons now are getting to the point where they're allowing mothers to keep their newborns with them in prison up to a certain age.
I think I've heard that too.
Yeah, I think that's a good way for resocializing too, because if you have a kid, you're tending to take more responsibility, you know. And in German, I think in German prisons, it's already a standard, you know. You don't take the kid away from the mother. And yeah.
So let's tie this back into, you know, birds a little bit here and kind of go off the theme we've gone off of for the past 3 weeks. What would a bird prison be like?
A bird cage.
A canary cage?
Yeah.
Life sentencers are sent to the mine to test the air quality?
for bird prisons? Yeah. Oh, God. Oh God, you're horrible, Cor. Yes, you've been sentenced to be the natural air quality control test bird. We'll see you in either 30 years or maybe 15 more minutes.
Yeah, basically.
Good luck.
Murder birds.
To be honest, I think they wouldn't.
I don't know.
I think they do not. They wouldn't look much different. Our cells and stuff, so everything that can confine them, and I think they wouldn't get but I think the outside areas, if they could fly if entry birds could fly, they would have like a roof of bars over them, you know?
An electric fence roof kind of thing.
Yeah, probably.
So
basically, are you saying like Jurassic beaks? Park kinda?
Oh, totally. Yeah, like Jurassic Park.
And I think they would need time to fly free, you know?
So what about, like, inmate violence and stuff like that? Like, so beaks are already kind of dangerous, especially to have in a prison system. Yet, like, you know, if someone's beak gets broken, you could easily make a beak into a shiv. And then you could shank you could shank someone with your shiv, or you could shiv them with your shank.
So you're saying are you suggesting, Cor, that there are some birds that would break their beak to shiv somebody?
Oh, they would break other people's beaks. They wouldn't break their own. Why would you do that?
Why don't we say just a peck, you know?
Because shivs and shanks are much more effective. Like,
a woodpecker would be like the biggest badass in the, or a secretary. They would break your body with kicking you, you know?
I think secretary birds would be like shackled 24/7. And I imagine like they would put like, sorry, Storm, just a sec. I imagine they would put like something like a clown nose on a woodpecker during like social hours. So that if they did try to peck someone, it would be like, you know, softer and couldn't damage.
Or maybe they just watch them all day, you know, like, yeah, like in a prison.
Just keep them all confined to their own cells. Okay, sorry, Storm. I interrupted you.
So what about those really mean, huge birds that they have in Australia?
Emus?
Yes. What would they do with those birds? Because those birds can kill you with one kick.
I would also imagine foot shackles. Constant foot shackles.
Shoes. Soft shoes.
Bird shoes.
Yeah.
Bird shoes. Oh my gosh. Bird shoes. A new talent accessory coming soon to Birdania.
Fleeks, get working on that. You're our marketing department, right? I want bird shoes by the end of this quarter.
Jeez. Okay. But I would realistically think that talons can be very deadly. Even birds that normally wouldn't be violent, if they use their talons just right.
I imagine there would be like some ongoing like claw clipping. Like your nails would have to be constantly filed to be dull and clipped short. Like they do that with prisoners already. Like you can't let your nails get like so long in prison. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Nothing.
This connection has been silenced by the German Ministry of Bird Intelligence. Oh, gosh. We've totally lost him this time.
We have.
Pet Pig is down.
He's gone.
The question our listeners want to know is, what is with you and Cheetos, Corey?
We've gone over this like four episodes in a row now.
What other differences stood out with you, you know, especially, you know, culture-wise? How do the Swedish act that you find maybe weird compared to what you're used to in Germany?
Okay, one weird thing was they don't know how door handles work. I mean, I don't know how it is in America, but in Germany, if you have a door handle, you really have to push it down, and you get the feeling like you're really pushing it down. You know, you have some
substance to it.
I'm wondering if that's just a genetic thing, like involving.
You have some resistance. You know, German door handles have some resistance. You have to push. Turn down. You have to apply force to it. You know.
I
wonder if like Swedish people have like a genetic predisposition against doors, because I too have great difficulty with doors. I try to open them, and I end up like using my face to open the door unintentionally.
That explains so all the beak marks in the doors to the studio.
Oh, dude, like, there's face prints everywhere. If you have a glass door, I will go full bird on it.
The door handles in Sweden are, like, super wobbly. You can, like, push them, bloop, 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 you know what I mean? Like they don't have that resistance. They do not have that. You don't have to apply force to them. They are just, like, wobbly, and you can, like, I don't know.
You see, that sounds perfect for me.
They are, like, they are like broken, but at first I saw it in the hotel like they may be broken, you know, they just not probably fixed to the door, you know. No, it's everywhere like that in Sweden.
So what, Sweden they use cheap door locks?
They did not understood the concept of door handles, that's for sure. So maybe they are lazy, they don't want to apply force to the door handles, I don't know.
Is that just, is that limited to like commercial buildings or is it like residences too? Because here in America, we have like fire code. So like commercial businesses, their doors have to open outwards. That way, if there's a fire, you know, people panic and, you know, press up against the door, they open and it opens outwards and they're not trapped inside. Versus like residential places tend to be, the door opens inward.
Yeah.
Well, and also here, you know, if you go somewhere cheap, the door handles tend to be very cheap plastic pieces of shit. Whereas if you go somewhere high end or spend a lot of money on your door, you get a doorknob and a door lock assembly that's got a lot of substance to it that you got to throw a lot of oomph into to get the lock to turn, and you hear the satisfying click as it opens and closes.
Or you hear just the satisfying sound of Core getting a concussion.
Well, that too, but that's just funny.
Another difference are the people, really. I mean, we were at the first night I was guesting at a Swedish friend's home overnight, and the mother of him, she wasn't talking to us. She was like, I'm used, like, if I'm gassed by a friend, that their mothers are always like more like, oh yeah, can I bring you something, can I do this, can I do this, but she was like avoiding us. She was like I think it was to not disturb us, or it's the Scandinavian genes or something. And the father was even worse. He, when I was like greeting him, by the way, he was originally comes from Finland, and he was just like, if you greeted him, he was just like, you know,
are you sure they weren't just like generally antisocial people?
I just think they don't want to show like if they are happy or something. They don't show emotions or something. I don't know. That was like Ref. That was like my best friend who went there with me. He was like, yeah, that's super normal. They don't like to show feelings, and they are not like over emotional people. Even what? Yeah, I don't know.
Sweden
I don't
in
know.
General?
I believe him. But yeah?
What, Swedish people in general? They don't like to show emotion?
Probably. I don't know.
Not until they're drunk.
When they are drunk, they are like super angry most of the time.
Angry,
like,
oh,
like, I do what I want.
God, it sounds like Sweden's actually a country full of sociopaths.
No, I don't think so.
But hey, here's what's weird about this. The Finnish drink more. That's true, actually.
The thing is, they have, for example, the same word for thank you and please. You know, if you ask for something, you say tack. If you're getting something, you say tack. So they also very spare with their words for the polite words, I guess. Say it usually, for example, in a sentence, you say, "Can I have a cigarette, tack?" Because we were asked it a lot, so I came up with that sentence. And if you give him the cigarette, he says again, "Tack."
Now, when you the last question, go ahead, Core.
Now, when you actually go out to, like, you know, smoke with them and like have a social cigarette, like, do they talk or? Besides saying talk, do they talk?
They talk with you, and then that's super great, and they're drinking a lot with you, and they are super social and super crazy, you know, and have a lot of good humor. Very sarcastic and, I think, macabre humor. And where they are, like, master in social, like, they get, like, socializing masters in the sauna. In the sauna, they're getting like, then they're super socialized. If you're like just sitting there next to each other naked, you know, and you're just talking about stuff and yeah.
That's
and singing songs together. What?
That's mildly uncomfortable. Like, I've been to saunas before, and I've been to the saunas where you go in naked. Like, it's still courtesy to wear a towel. And if your towel opens, you close it.
In the Scandinavian saunas, you're saunaing naked, and also in Germany, that's a rule. Like, you go there, in there, you can cover your best piece, but it's totally normal to go there in there naked, and you're getting used to it super fast. I was at first like, too, but then you go in there and you feel like free, and you're talking, and you're singing in the sauna. You're singing in the sauna, and he also had like a private sauna. He was living in a community, and they could rent a sauna, you know, for a night or something. And we were in there. And we were singing songs and drinking beer in the sauna. That was super amazing.
That's a great combination. All right, most important question of all.
Okay.
What's your favorite food for Sweden? Come on, you had to have something in Sweden that was
the meatballs. Say the meatballs. Say the IKEA meatballs, please.
The meatballs.
I say köttbullar, the meatballs with potato mashed potatoes and how they got lingonberries.
Oh my god, that's the perfect IKEA meal.
Yeah, it is perfect. But outside from Sweden has a burger chain, its own burger chain, and it really competes with McDonald's there. It's called Max Burger. And oh my god, are those burgers great? I mean, they're not comparable with, for example, Five Guys or something, but for its own, they are. I loved it. They have halloumi burgers. They have a lot of vegan options, for example, and a Mexican burger, and I don't know. And I really loved their how they make bacon. I mean, the Swedes somehow manage it to make the perfect bacon. It's cross and soft at the same time. I don't know how they manage it, but every time I ate bacon in Sweden, it was just perfect. It was a compromise between the English bacon and the American bacon somehow.
It sounds like very heavenly.
It was. I loved it.
All right, we actually have a lot of questions this week from our loyal listeners.
Oh, bring it on.
Thank you so much. I am trying to get through as many of these as I can because I am excited. Some of these questions are going to be more rapid fire than others.
So let's try to make it quick, yeah.
All right, so for the rapid fires, just pick your choice and let's move on.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
The first several questions I have come from Batsy. First question. Ghostbusters or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Ghostbusters.
TMNT. The turtles. I like
turtles.
I like the live action turtles, but if I had to pick between the two movies, I'm going to go Ghostbusters. Sorry.
I like balls, but I love the series, the cartoons of Ghostbusters. Ninja Turtles a lot.
Yeah, the recent movies were horrible.
Yeah, but the one from the 90s, the one from the 90s was pretty good. So,
but the Ninja Turtles were my childhood. So,
yeah,
a part of my childhood.
I'm getting so fucking old. Next question: Autobots or Decepticons?
Autobots, dude.
I have no idea about that whole thing.
It's got to be Autobots. I mean, come on. This isn't a debate. If you pick anything other than Autobots, there's just something wrong with you.
It's true. I'm not even that big of a fan of Transformers, like, especially since the movies.
I never was in Transformers. I have no idea about it. Sorry, all right. Sorry, Cor.
The movies next that killed one. Shia LaBeouf's career.
Oh, you go.
So, next one.
Next one.
Next.
Pee-wee or Ernest?
Ooh, good one.
What?
Oh, that is a good one. Oh.
Pee-wee's Playhouse, or what was the title of Ernest?
Oh, that's a good question.
But I got to go with Playhouse. That's just what I'm more familiar with. That's what I watched when I was a kid.
Again, I have no idea.
The poor German is left out.
Yeah, Pee-wee plays with his Pee-wee. Let's go with Pee-wee.
But I take what Core. I take what Core takes. I just take what Core takes.
Sable Dracon presents us with the following. On hot dogs, mustard or ketchup?
Ketchup.
Both.
And they have to be. They specifically have to be all beef franks. I don't want none of that mixed meat bullshit. All beef or nothing.
You would be banned from the city of Chicago unless you were a Grifflet. They asked for that. Ketchup is prohibited from hot dogs, which is why I demand it be on every hot dog I have in addition to mustard. I like both.
hey, that is completely okay because I never want to go to Chicago. I'm good.
But you want to visit me, I thought, at one point. Oh, you're such a...
I said AC, Anthrocon. I don't even want to go to New York City.
Okay. Ace O'Reilly asked the following. Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Coca-Cola.
Pepsi.
What the hell is the matter with you, sir?
I like Pepsi better.
Get out.
Pepsi, because I like sweeter drinks better.
What the fuck?
And fun fact, most Coca-Cola drinkers prefer Pepsi in the blind test.
You heathens. Absolute heathens.
That's why they invented New Coke.
It's Coke and rum, not Pepsi and rum. The fuck is the matter with you? Next question.
All right, next question actually has some sustenance to it. It's from Feedy, and the question is this. Describe what character you would be in a fantasy world like Warcraft or Lord of the Rings. Your powers, abilities, and special markings, and all that jazz. Cora, I'll let you start.
Are we talking about like stats or something, like character building, like, or are we just talking about like, ooh, our magical abilities?
I'm guessing what he's saying is, what character do we like the most, and what abilities and whatnot we want them to have?
Well, Worgen, because I'm absolute furry trash. But if we're trying to do like our bird characters,
I would just be an NPC.
You would be an NPC?
Yes.
I would be a griffin, case closed, enough said. Don't need to say any more than that. We're perfect. All right, Cor?
That's exactly what Cor said. So
exactly.
Don't need to put much...
Oh, God.
The skip-outs are hilarious. No, I think like so if I was to not be an NPC character, it'd be more in line with like the dwarves. Like, you know, just the building, the science, etc. I'd just be a really tall dwarf.
A tall dwarf. Yeah, you would only be a tall dwarf because you're too lazy to work in the mines, and they don't tall dwarfs do not fit in the mines.
But I mean, they got the whole like steampunk and science thing going for them versus the magic and shit.
Okay.
Next couple of questions. This will be the final three. Okay. First two are quick fire. Chiros asked the following. Cider or wine?
Cairopika. Wine, by the way.
Cider.
This is...
You know what? Actually, no. I don't like most wines.
Yeah, but I'm like you, Corey. I agree. I don't like most wines either. I like the sweeter wines, but that's it.
Yeah, so it's like if I was given the choice between like just a typical table wine and a cider, I'd choose the cider. But if I was given my choice of wines and ciders... I would go after, like, you know, Barefoot, like, or Arbor Mist or something like that.
Huh.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Okay. That's our answer.
I would, if wine, I would like an American original Fragolino. But they are banned in EU, so I rarely get them.
Aw.
They are tasting like strawberry, but there is no strawberry inside. It's just... It's just the American grape that tastes like strawberry. That's so fantastic. I love it.
What is that candy that's like a strawberry candy? Like it's like an old person's candy.
You mean hard candies?
Yeah, it even comes in like a strawberry like looking wrapper.
Yeah,
and generally
you only
get them around Christmas, but oh my god, those are delicious.
Yeah, and they're in every old person's house. I don't know.
They're so good. I love
them. Well, it means you're getting old.
I've been old since I was a kid then.
Yeah, me too. All right, next question. Second to last one. Would you rather fly 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Fly or fight?
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? The question just got far more interesting.
I would fight the
No, was the original question fly or fight?
Horse.
It was fight.
I would fight the duck-sized horses, really.
Yeah, me too. One, they'd be really easy to just kick. Just boot them.
Yeah. Yeah, so and they are not
100 duck-sized horses.
100's actually not a lot.
I don't know. I think you'd be overwhelmed.
Well, they're duck-sized horses. Well, they can't exactly maybe climb you.
Friendly.
Yeah, but I'm sure they can bite the shit out of you.
I'll wear shin guards. I'm not worried.
See,
I'm more worried about a horse-sized duck. I'm more worried about a horse-sized duck because ducks can be really mean.
Oh, yeah. And they have teeth.
Well, I'd rather deal with one big one than 100 little shits. But fair enough. Last question. Grand finale. Are you all ready?
Okie dokie.
I was born ready.
I was hatched ready, motherfucker. Here's the question. From Soul Ember. Question is this. What species of bird dog do you want to see more represented in the furry fandom?
Bird dog?
Yes.
Repeat it one more time for Fleeks.
What species of bird dog do you want to see more represented in the furry fandom? This does apply to us because, you know, as birds, we have to interact with dogs that occasionally like to find us for reasons. What species of bird dog?
No, I heard the question, but I'm asking you what.
Okay, they're asking what kind of, you know, because there's multiple dogs that hunt birds. So what species do you want to see more of? I actually have an answer to this.
Okay.
What about you guys?
Ready?
No.
Not really much of a hunting dog kind of person, so I don't know. But if there had to be more dogs in the world, I'd go with huskies. There need to be more huskies.
I would say beagles. Beagles are loving, adorable, loyal to a T, very friendly, wouldn't hurt a child. Now, they do hunt birds, but only under certain circumstances. Otherwise, they're just as likely to, you know, slurp a bird and play with it as they are to hunt it down. All depends on how it's trained.
Fair enough.
I kind of like mixed dogs, you know, like the where you can tell the species because they often look pretty awesome. And I also have a thing for Shiba Inus, I guess.
Shiba Inus, yes, that was the meme dog.
They're assholes.
Yes. They're very
intelligent. But I like assholes. I really like assholes.
You heard it here first, folks. Fleeks likes assholes. Yeah. And that's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, consider going to our website, bird.life, and kissing the magpie. It's going to take you over to our Patreon page. And if you become a patron, if you donate just $1 a month, that's literally like the lowest tier. That's all you have to do. Donate $1 a month. That gives you access to 30-minute extra episodes that we also do. So really what it is like we do the Patreon thing because it pays for the servers and it keeps us ad-free. And to be honest with you, I would prefer to be ad-free forever because I listen to a lot of podcasts myself and I absolutely hate hearing like ads intermittently throughout the show. Like, I don't want to hear about like Square Cash app and I don't want to hear about like, you know, your hosting servers and stuff like that. Like I tune in for the podcast. So I'd rather have a really awkward 30-second to minute long outro at the very end where like people can just click off if they have no intention to donate. But also if you click off, you kind of miss the blooper reel. So that's on you. Thank you for joining us. Feel free to catch us on Twitter, Facebook. You can subscribe via iTunes, the RSS feed, or Google Play Music.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Fleek saying something?
I think he's just going, In the meantime, we can do the hustle.
Okay,
Yeah, we did that like the entire time you were gone.